And that leads us to the kingdom of God, right? It says, you know, make sure you're thinking about heavenly things, not earthly things. In the first chapter, I keep putting this list up here because Paul used so many different words to describe what God's done for us in Jesus Christ. He makes us alive. He gives us the kingdom of God, faith, love, and unity as a community. Grace that will triumph over the evil of the world and the evil of the universe. In other words, spiritual forces and all that. Reconciliation with God. Forgiveness with God. Blamelessness. I love that one. You know, I was doing a little meditating yesterday, just thinking about God, not the Hindu junk, but thinking about God and where he brought me from. You know, it's been a long time since I became a Christian and had to remember it. And I think, my goodness, God, your mercy, your grace, your love is so great. And to take that mess and make it blameless through Jesus Christ. Free from accusation, right? Bearing the fruit of God and works that please God. So these are things, again, all through the first, you know, chapter and a half, and then the talk about community, the talk about the kingdom, set your mind on things above where Christ is risen, not on the things of the earth. And then he's going to tell us, you know, with all of this, basically, what has God created out of this? And he has created a community that has two really important things, character and commitment. Character and commitment. And he starts off with character. So in Christ, again, that's why I have to put that first thing up, because you don't just pull up even the third chapter without thinking about what he said in the first two chapters, right? And first of all, I want you to just hear this very first line. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Now that goes back to, you know, all that work in Christ. How do you know that? You know, well, God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Do you think of yourself that way? I mean, I'm telling you, Paul says this is how God sees you. As God's chosen people. Not I didn't choose God, God chose me. You know, I was choosing all the wrong things until God chose me. Holy, that means different from the world. I don't think like the world. I don't live like the world. Their opinions and attitudes and behaviors are not to be found in, and I should not say me, in us. I want to remind you, you know, and then dearly loved. I mean, as we're worshiping God today, and we're going to actually bring this up later, but we're worshiping God and praising God. And, you know, just the sense of God's presence in our lives. Folks, don't take that for granted. That is an absolute gift of God. And it says that you're his people, you're holy, and you are loved. Then he gives us this list. And the New Testament has a lot of lists, right? Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Kind of interesting that, you know, these lists, if you look at them, and when I'm studying, I have to look at them for a long time. I don't just read it and say, okay, you know, next. But I'm thinking about these things. There's two things that happen. These lists are not there to make you feel bad about where you are, but they're there to, one, encourage you. Right? And I hope that as you look at this, and we're going to look at the list in more detail, but as you look at the list, you say, okay, I'm, you know, check, uh-oh, you know, need work here. And that, but it's not meant to condemn, it's meant to encourage us to do better, encourage us to be more like Christ. I love that, Rebecca, she's adorable. That's so nice. You know, and what we talked about this last time, that the idea of what God is doing through Jesus Christ is creating his character, his image in us. And this is, you say, what does that look like? And there it is. It's this list of qualities that Paul says, because we're chosen, holy, dearly loved, have these qualities in your life. Have this. This is what we're supposed to look like, right? So just to go through this, you know, compassion. To be able to feel for other people, to be able to care about others. It's the mind of Christ, right? Don't think of your own needs only, but think of, you know, the needs of others. And that's part of compassion. It's part of, you know, having mercy, the same kind of mercy that God gives us. You know, sometimes people get angry with somebody or get upset. And really, folks, there's not a place for that in the church. There's not a place for that in the community of heaven. It's, you know, well, you know, if you count all the things that you've done that could offend God, what's that compared to what somebody else did, right? Mercy. So mercy is a huge part of it. To share grace, and grace is such a great word. It comes up several times, different forms of you know, the word grace and used in different contexts. But one way we look at it is God reaching down to help us. And he says, you should have that same grace for others to help each other. To help each other to know God, to help each other to walk with God, to help each other to grow in God. Or sometimes it's just helping out in day-to-day problems, okay? Humility. Earlier he talked about false religion and false humility, you know, faking. Oh, I'm just, you know, like I used to call it Eeyore. Remember that donkey, you know? Oh, thanks for noticing me. You know, that's not. He's talking about, and I always think about this, like, be very honest with who you are. I know who I am. I'm not perfect. I'm not up here. I'm here. You know, I know what God has made me to be. And so, you know, I don't try to push too high and I don't go too low. I try to stay right and be what God's called me to be and made me to be. And that's, you know, humility, gentleness, as opposed to harshness. There's one where I say, okay, and you can also call it friendliness. Like, I can be friendly a lot of times, but you have a semi going down the road in the wrong way and say, what are you doing, right? But gentleness instead of harshness. That's a good one. Then there's two words, and you could translate them both, patience. One of them, you know, macrothumia, which means a long time before you get angry. You know, not being quickly upset or easily upset. That's a great thing to have in a marriage, right? Not getting upset too quick. Let it take a long time before I get upset, before I get angry, you know, that kind of. And then patience, enduring difficulties with others. In other words, someone's annoying me. Patience that way, where I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to, you know, yep, let it go, you know, these kinds of things. And then offering grace, as I said, you know, he said, you know, someone has done something wrong, you know, but again, the word is offering grace, meaning in this kind of forgiveness, kind of, you know, seeking peace instead of getting even. You know, and then above everything else, as I was reading it in the original language, it kind of seemed like, and love, which binds, and they translate it, binds all these virtues, but I think binds us together. It binds us together, love, really caring for each other, the way God cares for us. So this is the first part, is like character. This list, and there's many other lists like this in the New Testament, and it's just calling us to bear the character of God, the image of God. This is what God wants his children to look like. And you know, if I stare at, you know, part of it's a mirror that shows me, you know, hey, that's all right. And part of it's a mirror that says, need some work there, you know, okay? So then he talks about, and again, I want to remind you, all of those, go back to this. All of these are plurals. This is not just about me. This is we and us. I always have to remember that when I'm looking at the lists. Say this, you know, are we this kind of people, right? And if we are, we become attractive like Christ is attractive. And if we're not, we become repulsive like Jesus isn't, you know? So it's not, and this is the same thing here, that the things that he's asking for, this is corporate. This is corporate, right? And I'm just going to read this, but then we're going to take it apart. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And that word thankful is another form of grace. Another, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you in all wisdom teach and admonish one another. Your versions might say something, they misplace the words. I don't know why, because this is how it's in the Greek, wisdom first. You know, in all wisdom teach and admonish one another. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Gratitude, charis, again, we'll see that. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, here's the thing, you know, Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And if you look at this little, you know, admonition of Paul to us, it includes, as I have up there, heart, mind, soul, and service. So you could say strength. That everything that we are and everything God's ever been looking for is contained in this. From the very beginning, God wanted to create a people that would love him the way they ought to love him. Totally. Heart, soul, mind, and service, right? Heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. This world is filled with all kinds of things that rob you of peace. I'm a YouTuber. I'm watching YouTube. I mean, if I watch 5 videos on YouTube that aren't funny, I start getting sad. Because they're all telling you, you know, we're going to run out of water, the planet's going to die because of global warming, you know, we're going to run out of energy. I mean, just all these different problems, all these things that the part of the world, sin in the world. You know, you hear these stories about, you know, trouble. And it's amazing how many of these things we listen to and are thrown upon us, and there's nothing you can do about it. So why am I thinking about some problem that there is no solution that I have a personal part in? And why am I letting this into my conscience, into my heart, right? When it's really out there and it's just chatter. But it's dangerous chatter, right? I mean, you got troubles, you know, in our life that are our own troubles, you know, sickness, death. Taxes, you know, all kinds of stuff that happens in the world. But what, you know, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. When does that happen? That happens when I take my mind off of the world, when I take my mind off of the blather that's going on in the world, and I set my mind on Jesus Christ. I set my mind, as he said in the chapter before, set your mind on things above where Christ is risen. Set your mind on the kingdom of God. I told you a few times that there was a time where I was worried about this and that, and God just whispered in my ear, everything you're worried about is of the world, of your life. None of it has to do with the kingdom of heaven. And if I set my mind on the kingdom of heaven, if I set my heart on the kingdom of heaven, peace. That's why, you know, again, I love being with you. I love worshiping with you. I love, you know, speaking to you. Because we're thinking about Christ and we're worshiping Christ, and God becomes the center for this hour. That's why we don't mess with other things. We just let it be about God. And that always brings peace. I always feel better at the end of the day, the peace of God. And it's for us as a people, right? It's for us as a people to create a space. Just think of what happens when we come into this space and we worship the Lord and we listen to the Word of God. But we create a place of peace. And we've done that for years since I've been here. And I think about like the days when there were gangs out on the streets here. A lot of murders going on, a lot of you know, crime and violence going on. And yet this was still a place of peace in that bad environment. And I just think that's how God is. God creates, we call it holy space, but God creates that place of peace, that place of rest, right? So, and we're going to talk about thankfulness later in a second. So setting our heart and mind on Jesus. And he said, again, let it rule your heart. That's so important. Let it be the king of your heart, the peace of Christ. And that means if I'm thinking about other things too much that are bringing me down, worrying me, that I really have no control over, right? Quit it. You know, get that mind focused in the right spot and let the peace rule in your heart. So that's the heart. The mind. Yeah. Let the word of God dwell present active. That's why I put the Greek there so I remember. Be dwelling in you. Let the word of God be dwelling in you in richness. I mean, you know, be rich. Rich. How many of you would like to be rich? Not filthy rich, but, you know, oh, stop that. No, but rich in the word of God. And you think about, you know, what we do, right? We come into this space, the word of God. We teach the kids the word of God. We, you know, a Sunday morning, we have two little classes, the word of God. Wednesday night, the word of God. Why? Because I want to be rich in the word of God. I want the word of God to dwell in us richly. So when something happens out there, you know, I'm not thinking, well, gee, what did Dad say about that? Or what did, you know, so-and-so say? You know, what did Oprah say? You know, or whatever, you name it. Yeah, yeah. No. What did God say? What does God say about this? And that's what it means to have it dwell richly in you, so that you can filter the things of the life and the things of the world through the word of God in your mind and know the answers. They're sometimes very simple answers. Sometimes they're very complex answers. But when it's God's answer, it's the right answer, right? And then he says, and this is why, I move the, they say teach and admonish one another with wisdom. I said, no, in wisdom, and this is the way it's in the Greek, in wisdom, teach and admonish one another the word of God, right? This is one of the problems in the church, not our church, praise God, but in the church, where the capacity to understand as a result, then to know how to behave, act wisely, capacity to understand. People don't understand the Bible. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to respect it. They don't, they say, well, it's whatever I say it means. No, God gave us a message from his mind, from his heart, for us. And that message is the truth of God. And we don't play with it. We don't make it say what I want it to say. We make it say what he wants it to say. And that takes discipline. That takes work. That takes sometimes years of you know, looking at it and thinking about it to understand it. And the thing that, you know, I think about, I do respect our church, and we've set standards, high standards, in regard to the word of God. People who teach, they must know and have a discipline of teaching the word of God and looking at it in the particular way. We don't want to just open up to anybody to teach. We tried to create a place where the word of God is absolutely respected and presented as it is God's word. And I pray for us that we would always do that. That no matter what happens, that you know, and maybe even if we're not in the same place, but wherever we would go, that we would go and seek that the word of God is rightly divided. The word of God is given out in wisdom. In wisdom, they know what they're talking about. To teach, you know, the Great Commission, make disciples by teaching people to obey. Teaching people how to live according to the word of God. Admonish. That's the hard part. Hard part is admonishing. When you're not, someone's not doing it right. Somebody's got the wrong idea. I try to be softer than I used to be when I admonish, but you have to do it. Correction is hard, but if you don't correct your children, what do they become? You know, hooligans. You don't want that. You want to correct your children. You want to raise them up to know, and you are God's children. And so sometimes, you know, you have to be admonished. And again, with love. Everything you do is with love. So, you know. So the mind, the heart, peace with God, peace of Christ ruling in your heart, your mind, God's word rich, rich in your mind, rich in who you are, rich in how you live, okay, being wealthy in that. Then there's soul. And I think we do pretty well in this one. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with grace. I it says gratitude, but grace, charis, is the word. And somebody said you could actually, yeah, in your hearts. The idea of thanksgiving, and he uses the word thanksgiving like three times in this, and the word grace. Right, which if you can kind of see, Eucharistos is thanksgiving, and grace is charis, and you can see that word's also in thanksgiving, and an expression of thankfulness to give thanks. I like that, just to have a full heart, to speak from the heart. When we worship God, when we come in here and we sing songs, I love it when we're just all of us looking to God. We're praising God. We're not, I try not to think of other things, and sometimes those things come in. But I want to think about God. I want to praise God. I want it to be sincere. I don't want to sing to you. I want to sing to God. I don't want to I don't like it like a food program. Sometimes people applaud when we're done. I don't want that. It's not a show. It's a time of giving God thanks, a time of praising God, a time of letting God know his heart has touched our heart. And his truth has touched us. And his Savior has made us alive. And that we worship him. And we feel that grace and that power as we worship God. So again, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. To praise the Lord and to have that grace. One guy with us one time said, our singing is like praying with song. That's what it is. It's like praying to something. And that's what we're doing. We're reaching out to God with our heart as we sing. And I don't think God cares if you have much of a voice or not. He does care if you have a heart. He does care if you have your heart engaged with him, right? So that. And then service, whatever you do. And again, remember, this is all about church. This is all about the community of God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I've said it many times. I don't care if people walk out of here and don't know my name. But if they walked out of here and hadn't heard about Jesus, I'd be ashamed. And they didn't know that, the reason why we do all that we do is to glorify God who gave us the great Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we share the gospel with the kids at tutoring. We share it on Fridays. That's why, whatever we do, the food program, whatever we do, we're going to share the gospel because it's got to be known that whatever we do in word or in deed, it's about God. It's about Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's about the Holy Spirit being with us, right? It's all done in his name. Why is it? Because it brings glory to him. Our little church has a reputation, and I don't want the thing attached to me, but I do like it attached to God. It's people loving, working, praying, seeking in a hard place sometimes, but to God be the glory. It's Jesus who deserves the praise. Why do you do this with Jesus? How come you're different, Jesus? Whatever you do in word and deed should be done in the name of the Lord to glorify God. Again, what are we doing? God's creating a people that are his character, his image, his character in all those blessed things that he asks us to be. But then a people that, like he always wanted, he said at Sinai, he says, I want to make a kingdom of priests. I want to make you into my people who know how to worship and serve me. I want a people that know how to be committed to me. Not partly. Mind, heart, soul, strength, service, right? That God always wanted that. And it's because of Jesus that it's possible. It's because of who Jesus is and what he's done that it's possible for us to finally be a people that can please God. Think of the centuries that God ached. He said, I wanted to gather you, you know, under my wing. I wanted to protect you. And they broke his heart over and over. We actually have an opportunity because of Jesus to be different and to do what nobody else could do until Jesus came. And that is to be God's image-bearing people that show a perfect commitment to him by how we act together as his church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Said today that our hearts, minds, and souls would be completely filled with your truth, with your word, and with love for one another. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.